Chapter 12, The Wonders of Comparison. We love to compare ourselves to others. When we see a good-looking actor or an athlete with a stunning physique on TV, our desire to possess the same physical attributes as them increases tremendously, compared to when we don't see them at all. Now, this desire intensifies when we see many people having better physical features than us. However, when we're around people who have less than desirable qualities than us, we tend to feel confident with our self-image. Isn't it strange how the principle of comparison works wonders? We treat our self-worth differently based on certain situations. Even if we possess the same physical features, we make our decision or give an opinion by assigning a yardstick that will be the basis for comparing two or more factors. Rita's husband was a loving yet lazy man who quit his job and stays all day at home doing nothing, while Rita works hard at the office. He said he's just waiting for the right opportunity. She thought she has the worst husband in the world. Then one day, her friend Gina came running to her, weeping, her eyes out. Gina said her husband beat and abused her and the children several times every day. Rita then realized how lucky she really was with her husband. Although lazy, he's a loving husband and father who had never hurt them in any way. At first, Rita thought her husband was very irresponsible, but after comparing her situation with Gina, her perception about her husband changed. See how powerful this principle of comparison is? A few years ago, the Philippine peso exchange rate versus U.S. dollar was roughly around 55 pesos to $1. When the Philippine economy improved and the exchange rate became roughly 50 to 1, Filipino overseas contract workers earning U.S. dollars complained because they got less pesos for every dollar they're earning. Then came the time when the Philippine economy boomed and the exchange rate became around 45 pesos to a dollar. Dollar earners from the Philippines became more frustrated, but when the exchange rate came back to around 48 to 1, they were overjoyed. Now, how come they are disappointed with 50 to a dollar, but were happy at 48 to a dollar, even if they got less pesos from the latter exchange rate? Well, it's the principle of comparison at work again. How to apply comparison in selling? How do some marketers use comparison when selling seminar recordings or transcripts? A seminar costs $997, but the seminar speaker decides to sell the seminar recording in a DVD for $97. People will think it's an amazing deal, even if it is $97, because they compared $997 with $97. A big difference. They'll learn the same secrets and tactics for a much lower price. Now, what if he decides to apply the principle of scarcity and make copies available only for 100 people? This offer becomes more attractive. And if he adds related bonuses worth $500, he's certainly further sweetening the deal. When my wife and I went to Shanghai for our honeymoon, we went shopping at discount stores. When we asked one store owner how much he's selling a particular item for, he asked us for a very high price. Well, we then negotiated, and he gave us a 25% discount. We weren't satisfied and continued negotiating. He slashed 50% off the price. Seems like a great deal. We thought if we can ask for a lower price, it'd be a super bargain. We negotiated once more, and after much haggling, the final price was 75% off. We knew that these sellers are applying the law of comparison. Wonder if they knew it. The funny thing is that many of the vendors are applying this principle in their selling efforts too. Membership sites divide their monthly fee into its daily equivalent, then sell prospects something like, "For less than a buck per day or the price of a small burger, you'll be provided all the training you need to start your food business." Surely a dollar a day sounds more affordable than paying a price like $29 a month. Studies have shown that selling a product individually with added bonuses is more attractive than selling a package for the same price. For example, you're selling a quality DVD that comes along with a book version and worksheet instead of selling your products as a package for $77. It'll have a better chance of attracting buyers if you sell the DVD individually for $77 than tell the prospects that they're just in time to grab the special offer. They get the additional book and worksheet at no extra cost. Cross-selling involves the law of comparison. See the more expensive item first before any related items that have a lower price. It will be much easier to sell related products at $20 or $30 each if they paid $300 for the main product. However, don't sell all the related products at a combined price. Finish selling each individual product before offering the next, so the comparison factor is still in effect. Different interpretations. There was a study done where one group of people were told that 35% of the people in a specific town are law violators. Another group was told that 65% of the people in that town do not have a police record. The survey showed that the group who were told about the 35% rate had a much negative impression of the town compared to the other group, even though they were told the same thing, just in a different way. The similarity factor. Did you know that you can persuade someone to do something which he has previously refused to do? All you have to do is reword your statement. If he says, "I don't want to attend the party," you can tell him, "Okay, would you just like to eat a fine meal in the company of our closest friends?" You still asked him if he wanted to attend the party, but you did it in such an indirect way that he experiences the pleasure and benefits of going there. Use similes and metaphors. You can use similes and metaphors in order to paint a more vivid picture in the mind of the persuadee, or to describe the degree of intensity of a certain subject. Wikipedia.org states that metaphor and simile are both terms that describe a comparison. The only difference between a metaphor and a simile is that a simile makes a comparison explicit by using like or as. The Columbia Encyclopedia, 6th edition, explains the difference as: a simile states that A is like B. A metaphor states that A is B, or substitutes B for A. Examples of similes: you shine like the stars above. He punched the enemy like a professional boxer. Examples of metaphors: she was so screwed up she can barely sleep. Time is running out fast. Use comparison to prove a point. Others use the principle of comparison in extreme ways to get attention. For example, here's what a friend told his business partner when the latter becomes irresponsible and fails miserably to do his part. "I resigned from my day job thinking that this business we went into will finally free me from the rat race. But it seems I may have to beg from people down the street just to feed my family. I'm on the verge of bankruptcy because of your inaction." Okay, I'm exaggerating to the max. It would, however, help our situation if you can focus on our business and help me in boosting it. Important things to remember in using comparison. Timing is crucial. If you talk for hours to an idiot, then suddenly talk to a normal person, you will perceive the normal person to be of above average or even superior IQ. But what if you talked to the idiot 2 weeks ago and talked to the normal person now? Would you have the same impression of the ordinary person? Most probably not, especially if you talked to a genius right before you spoke with the average person. You'll think the normal person is not too bright. Make a first request or offer that is too much to be accepted, yet still realistic. Then present your second, more acceptable request or offer, which is what you really want, after being rejected. People will tend to give in to your second suggestion or request if they reject your first, more significant one. Negotiators and sellers have been using this tactic effectively. Here's an example. The buyer: "How much is it for this?" The seller: "Oh, that costs $77. Buyer: "Are you kidding me?" The seller: "Okay, I'll give you a special deal, but please don't tell others or I would not be profiting. I'll give it to you for only $37. The buyer: "Okay, that's a deal." Now, would the buyer be persuaded much easily if the seller told him initially that the price is $37? Highly unlikely. What's better, the first or the last? There are many advantages of being the first. I was the first grandchild of my grandparents on my father's side, so I got much more attention when I came out to this world than when my sisters and cousins were born. The first man to land on the moon, or the first person who reaches the peak of Mount Everest, always gets the recognition. Other individuals followed in their footsteps, but they didn't attain the same credit. Now, the same theory applies in the field of persuasion. If you're joining a contest, ask if you can be the first to perform. If you're going to write a proposal, structure it in such a way that the benefits are listed first before the disadvantages. Your mind will pay much more attention to the first things that it encounters. Then it will tend to disregard the next data that does not correspond with the first information. Studies have also shown that the initial things you can do to affect the things that you do later. How many dwarfs did Cinderella have? The answer? None. It was Snow White. If this is the first time you encountered this question, you might answer 7. This is because the unconscious mind has initially associated the number 7 with the dwarfs, even if you've changed the fairy tale character. A study was done by social psychologist Harold Kelly to 2 groups of students. He gave each group a separate list of traits describing the speaker they were going to meet. One group was informed that the speaker was cold, industrious, critical, practical, and determined. The other group was advised that the speaker was warm, industrious, critical, practical, and determined. Even if both sets of descriptions have almost the same sets of words, except for the first word, the group of students who have been told the first description has an overall negative perception and opinion towards the speaker. This goes to show the impact of being the first. However, studies have shown that people will also tend to remember the last in a series of events of information. So, which one is better, the first or the last? The factor to consider is the length of time between the first and the last. When I was in high school, the teacher divided our class into groups, and she assigned each group with a science project. She said that the more impressive the project, the higher our grades will be. She asked us, who would we like to present their projects first? If our teacher designated one entire day for the presentations, we should take the initiative to go first. This is the time when her memory is still fresh. But she said that only one project would be presented per day. In this case, we could ask if we could be the last. We did not know this technique at that time. We just wanted to have enough time to prepare well for our project. The teacher agreed. We then got the highest score among the presentations. It may be because we had enough time to prepare, but being the last may also have been a critical factor. The impression we have imparted as the last contestants stuck in the minds of the judges. Because of the lengthy time span, the impact brought about by the first performers might have been a little overshadowed by the judges. Disregarding the other factors, the first and the last gets the most attention. Which would you remember more, your first kiss or your third one? What would give you a clearer picture, your second girlfriend or your last? Who eventually becomes your wife? I think you know the answer already, and this is the end of chapter 12.